Hi, everyone. We're going to be continuing Psalm 37, verses 28 through 33. The title is Rejection, Abandon, and Return. So let's begin. Have you ever met anyone who constantly amazed you? They had a voice that was so unique that it could soothe your soul and seems that it could chase away evil spirits. It was so peaceful. And they could play instruments that touched your heart, made you want to sing inside. And talk about strength. This person was so strong, and they had abilities that just seemed, well, not human. This is a possible description of King David. Most people don't know about David's God-given abilities in music, and they don't know the half of David's God-given strength. With his musical abilities, he chased away evil spirits of King Saul, and with his strength, he, of course, defeated a giant, Goliath, with a sling and some stones. He defeated 100 Philistines for the 100 foreskins that were given to Saul as a payment in order to marry his daughter. And in 2 Samuel 8, it reviews many of David's battles. 18,000 Edomites, 22,000 Syrians, and David captured 1,700 horsemen and 20,000 foot soldiers to be his servants. Wherever Saul sent David, the scripture says, he was successful in battle. And later, when Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David defeated the whole army of Hadadezer, he sent his son Joram to King David to ask about his health and asked David to bless him. And verse 6 says, "And the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went." But you know, the most outstanding quality of David's was that he was one of the most humble men to ever live on the face of the earth. He gave God all the glory and the credit every step of the way. He was like a miracle made by God. He had everything, so people admired him and loved him from far and wide. He even had enemies who admired him. So if you had the chance to serve King David in any way whatsoever, it was truly a great honor. So let's look at Psalm 37, 28 through 33. "For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart, his steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial." Today's teaching will be about a different aspect of David's life. The men who served the king. These were men of stellar character, and they really cared for the king and his welfare. They knew what an honor it was to serve this special king. Some turned out to be not as good as others, and some wavered in their service to the king. Let's look at their lives and see how they helped the king return to Jerusalem to achieve his ultimate goal in life, building the temple for God. In looking at David's life as a king, it began with rejection. Satan was doing whatever he could to reject David as king because he knew that God would use this man after God's own heart to help build the temple, which would eventually be instrumental in starting the church that would teach redemption from sin, causing people like you and me to reject Satan and to return to God. Satan tried to use King Saul, you know, grab all the kings in the line all the way to the Messiah, trying to destroy God's plans, but he was unsuccessful. So let's begin talking about the men who helped David get through this kingly struggle that he went through during his reign as the second king of Israel. The first person we should start with is Jonathan, Saul's son. He saved David's life on several occasions, but the reality of Jonathan's future was shown in verse 28 of Psalm 37. "For the Lord loves justice, he will not forsake his saints. They are forever preserved, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off." We will see how Jonathan, being the son of King Saul, missed out on God's promise and his inheritance of the eternal line of the kings. But first, let's look at some of the times when Jonathan helped David not be forsaken by his enemy. So who was David's enemy at the time? King Saul, Jonathan's own father. So let's start with 1 Samuel 19, 1 through 10. It says, "And Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all the servants that they should kill David. And Jonathan told David, 'Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Therefore, be on guard in the morning. Stay in a secret place and hide yourself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak to my father about you. And if I learn anything, I'll tell you.' So while in the field, Jonathan spoke well of David to his father and said to him, 'Let not the king sin against his servant David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his deeds have brought good to you. For he took his life in his hand, and he struck down the Philistine, and the Lord worked a great salvation for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood by killing David without cause?' And Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, 'As the Lord lives, he, being David, shall not be put to death.' Well, yay! Jonathan saved David's life. And then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan reported to him all these things, and Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in the presence of the king as before. If you remember from earlier teachings, David lived in the king's house, playing the lyre for him to rid the evil spirits that plagued Saul. And then after David killed Goliath, Saul used David in his army. So back to Jonathan. He really thought he had convinced his father not to kill David. So he felt comfortable bringing David back before Saul so that he could resume his musical and fighting duties. And then we go on in verse 8. It says, "There was war again, and David went out and fought against the Philistines and struck them with a great blow so that they fled before him. Then a harmful spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in the house with a spear in his hand." And of course, we see where Saul tried to spear David at that point. So what happened to Saul? I mean, he just assured Jonathan that he would not harm David. Well, his jealousy overcame him. We saw it before when he tried to kill David another time. David got too much attention and he got none. That made King Saul so angry that he tried to kill David. You know, many times people who are constantly fighting to get attention in the end, they don't get the attention they wanted. But the people who are humble, they don't even draw attention to themselves, and they end up getting the most attention. So David got lots of praise and attention. Have you ever met anyone like that, who you had a conversation with and walked away and felt so refreshed? Usually it's because the person listened so closely to every word that you said and didn't try to draw attention to themselves. That's a wonderful quality to have, and James talks about this. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That is a difficult thing to do. Listen so closely to others and don't let your emotion take over like Saul did. So pray that James 1, 19 through 20 would become part of you. Memorize it so that you can keep it on the tip of your tongue. Now let's look at another time when Jonathan tried to save David's life. It was when David came to Jonathan in 1 Samuel 20 asking, "Why is your father trying to kill me?" Jonathan found out firsthand after almost being speared to the wall himself that his father was serious about killing David. He went to a field and secretly warned David so that his father Saul would not find out he was helping David. Jonathan knew there was something special about this young man David. He could tell that God had his hand on David and would not forsake this chosen servant. David always wanted to please God and had a compassionate, caring heart, a heart that God would choose to carry on as the line of the kings. King Saul's line was cut off, like Psalm 37 says, but there was one who was not cut off for the sake of Jonathan, Mephibosheth, his son. David's gratitude and love for Jonathan caused him to have compassion on Jonathan's family because in 2 Samuel 9, David said, "Is there still anyone left in the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant in the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. Ziba told him that Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth who was crippled in his feet. David asked that he be brought to him, and he said to Mephibosheth, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you will eat at my table. Then David told Ziba to take his 15 sons and 20 servants and take care of all Saul's land for Mephibosheth. We can see what a humble heart David had. He provided for Mephibosheth and all of his servants and their servants. He touched so many lives, and people must have been surprised that such an amazing man could be so kind at heart. Only God could instill a love like that. So next, Joab and Abishai were two other predominant figures who God used to help deliver King David. Joab was over David's army, and he had a brother, Abishai, who was constantly aiding him in the battles. These two brothers said in 2 Samuel 10:12, "Be of good courage, and let us be courageous for our people, and for the cities of God, and may the Lord do what seems good to him." These men admired King David, but they were truly serving God, not David. They loved God like David loved God. Isn't it special how God sends like-minded believers to walk beside you in your Christian walk? Special friends who can pray with you and for you. Do you have friends like that? Ones who go to battle in prayer for you? Later in this teaching, I will talk about a special way to commit them in prayer, to thank God for them. But for now, let's get back to David's commanders of the army to see their love for God. Psalm 37:29 says, "The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever." Not only was David righteous, but the men who served him were also righteous. Joab was so concerned for David's welfare that he fought for God to ensure that all the promised land would be inherited by King David. Let's look at how Joab and Abishai delivered David so he could inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. 1 Samuel 26:6. Then David said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Joab's brother Abishai, "Who will go down with me into the camp to Saul?" And Abishai said, "I will go with you." You see, these men were eager to help David their king. The scriptures also say in 2 Samuel 10:7, "And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and the host of the mighty men." Another scripture says, "Just then the servants of David arrived with Joab from a raid, bringing much spoil with them." And again, "So Joab blew the trumpet, and all the men stopped and pursued Israel no more, nor did they fight any more." Along the way through the battles, many enemies pursued King David and Israel because this small nation was so powerful. Other nations thought they could defeat such a small nation and take their lush, desirable land that God had promised them. But the other nations kept finding out that something was different about Israel. They were hard to defeat. God blessed Israel, David, Joab, and Abishai. They cared for God and cared for David's safety. Later, we see Joab showed compassion for David's emotions and broken heart by bringing the woman from Tekoa to mediate when Absalom, David's son, needed to be returned to Jerusalem. Also, he cared for David's future as a king by reprimanding David at times. Like when David was weeping so much over Absalom's death, David wasn't going to stop to thank all the men for saving his life. Do you have friends like that? Ones who are compassionate and kind, but they let you know when you're straying off the path of compassion? We all need friends like that to keep us on track. Treasure them and thank them for their love and guidance. And best of all, pray for them. Imagine how David must have prayed for people in his life. Think of all the amazing psalms he wrote. They were prayers, and how many of them were about people in his life, and of course, about God, who helped David the most. David wrote about God constantly. Everything that David wrote reflected that his focus was always on God. Next, Nathan the prophet was a devoted man who served David for many years. He was the one who shared wisdom with David, wisdom from God, because he, as a prophet, literally spoke God's words to David. Psalm 37:30 says, "The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice." Let's look at how Nathan help David gain wisdom by speaking justice to him. 2 Samuel 7 says, "Now when the king lived in the house and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, 'See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent.'" So we see David wanted to build a house for God. Then Nathan said to the king, "Go and do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying that David would not build the temple, but that his line, a son after him, would build the temple. We see throughout David's life that Nathan served God first and then the king. He cared enough about David to deliver the true message of God. You will see in future teachings about other kings of Israel that many prophets were false and told the kings what their sin side would want to hear, tickled their ears. But Nathan only told the king what God had to say. We all need to be careful when giving advice or taking counsel from people that we keep our focus on God and His Word. I was advised early in my Christian walk to always sift advice through the Bible and to pray before acting on anyone's advice. Many times I forgot to do this, and it always got me in trouble. That's why, from experience, I've learned to direct people to the Bible when they need advice, and I try to go to the Bible first myself for problems in my own life. Nathan served God in order for God to produce wisdom, righteousness, and true justice in David. We see the first encounter between Nathan and David was when he convicted David of his sin with Bathsheba. This was a difficult message to deliver to a king and a confidant, but Nathan really felt conviction to deliver the true message from God. Then afterward, continuing in 2 Samuel 12, Nathan was there to help David through some of the punishment for the sin when the child conceived by Bathsheba died. Later in the next teaching, in 1 Kings 1, you will see how Nathan really saves the day when he assures that Solomon, the son who is chosen by God to be the next king in the line of the Messiah, is delivered to be the righteous king. Others at the time tried to steal away the kingship, but Nathan was there for David all of this time when he was king to make sure that God's plans were secure. What an honor to serve such a man as King David, even with his faults. The next people to serve David were Zadok, Ahimelech, and his son Abiathar, the priests. Thus Psalm 37:31 says, "The law of his God is in his heart, his steps do not slip." Let's look at how these men helped David acquire the law of God in his heart so his steps would not slip. In 1 Samuel 21, it says, "Then David came to Nob to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech came to meet David trembling and said to him, 'Well, why are you alone and no one is with you?'" Ahimelech's goal was to protect David. Then Saul, who was pursuing David's life at that time, came questioning Ahimelech about David. 1 Samuel 22:14 says, "Then Ahimelech answered the king, 'And who among your servants is so faithful as David, who is the king's son-in-law and the captain over your bodyguard and honored in your house?'" Well, unfortunately, King Saul killed 85 of the priests, including Ahimelech, but Abiathar, his son, was able to escape. This was fortunate for David because Abiathar helped David in his times of need after that point. 1 Samuel 30, verse 7, "And David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, 'Bring me the ephod.' And Abiathar brought the ephod to David so that he could inquire of the Lord." You see, Zadok, Ahimelech, and Abiathar knew the law of God. At that time, the law was the Torah, which included the Levitical law and the law of Moses. People at that time knew the Ten Commandments and much of the law in Leviticus. But if you've ever read Leviticus, you can see there had to be priests to study all of its details because it was so complicated and lengthy. There were specific laws for cleaning houses, cleaning your body before you could go before the ark, and so on, and so on. It was so overwhelming, so it helped to have someone there to help translate it. It's how we feel when we look at the laws of the land today. We need a lawyer to sift through it all, to see which laws actually apply to us. As a king, there were laws that had to be considered when judging people in the land, and it was just too much to keep up with all of the king's busy schedule and all of those laws. Their job as priests was to keep the king seeking God in all decisions. The priests could guide the king. The priests were responsible for all religious matters of the king and everyone in the kingdom. The priests helped to keep the king focusing on God and not the idols. So why else were these priests important to David? Their job was to protect the ark of God, God's presence at the time. The ark that would be in the future temple that David wanted to build in Jerusalem. In 2 Samuel 15:24, we see Abiathar came up, and behold, Zadok came also with all the Levites, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. And they set down the Ark of God until the people had all passed out of the city. This was after Abiathar informed David that Ahithophel, David's counselor, had betrayed him by serving Absalom. They were fleeing the king's house for safety. The priests really cared for David's kingdom, his welfare, and his life. These men knew that God had chosen this special man, the one who had a covenant with God, the first king to be in the line of the promised Messiah, King David. So next, Psalm 37:32 brings us to Ahithophel, David's counselor, who turned against David and served Absalom in his rebellion against King David, his father. It says, "The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death." Let's look at how Ahithophel sought to put David to death. Ahithophel was originally serving as David's counselor, a man whose goal was to keep King David stress-free, to keep little quarrels and bickering among the king's people away from the king. David had many concerns already as king, judging the people every day, and of course, he was a man of war, so he had to deal with battle issues. It would be like our president today if he were the Supreme Court judge in addition to commander-in-chief. But David was on the battlefield also. That's a lot of stress for one man to handle. So Ahithophel was there to assure the king remained stress-free and happy and calm. Well, Ahithophel piled all the stress on David during the Absalom rebellion and betrayed his king. Ahithophel had been such an inspiration to David, one who kept David encouraged and actually gave David golden nuggets in wisdom and knowledge. His counsel was one of the best services that David could have out of all the people who were devoted to the king. Ahithophel must have had a special spot in David's heart. David most likely admired and looked up to Ahithophel, probably trusted him beyond measure. What a shock, what a disappointment when he turned on David to help Absalom. That's why in 2 Samuel 15, we saw David and his men at the time weeping and covering their heads. David was so heartbroken because the man that worked to keep David's heart from being stressed and broken all those years was not only breaking David's heart, but was advising Absalom to go into David's concubines. If you remember the last teaching on Psalm 37:23 through 26, it talked about 2 Samuel 16:21, where Ahithophel advises Absalom to go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep his house, and all Israel will hear that you have made yourself a stench to your father, and the hands of all who are with you will be strengthened. David must have been shocked that the man he had trusted as counselor all those years would even dream of turning on him like this. Have you ever had an experience like that in your life? Someone you looked up to, someone you trusted for advice, someone you respected beyond belief. How could they fall like that? How could they turn on you and others? How could they have such an evil streak show up in their heart? Well, the advice in a case like this is first, turn to God in this matter, but secondly, try to surround yourself with other Christians and special people to get you through this struggle. David had Joab and all these other confidants in his life to get him back to where he was supposed to be, back on track, back to Jerusalem where his kingdom could continue. Make sure you keep wise counsel in your life in case something like this ever happens to you. Now, lastly, I want to talk about Hushai, David's friend, Ittai the Gittite, and Barzillai. Psalm 37:33 says, "The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial." Let's look at how these three men helped David by not abandoning him or letting him be condemned. Hushai helped David, especially during the Absalom rebellion. He made sure that David remained in power as king by finding out Absalom's plans and actually advising Absalom not to follow the advice of Ahithophel, who had turned against David. True friends will go to great lengths to protect their buddies, and Hushai actually risked his life for David. Again, we see how special David was to his friends. Imagine all the fun times they had together and all the special times while David shared stories about God's victories and his powers displayed. Imagine hearing David's side of the victory with Goliath or some of his other battle victories. Hearing him tell about God's miracles and power. Wow, Hushai was honored to have a friend like David, one who was so famous in Israel. Next, Ittai the Gittite flashed into David's life at a crucial time of need. He was fleeing from his house with all his family and kingdom to get away from the harm of Absalom. And in 2 Samuel 15:18, it says, "All of his servants passed by him, and all 600 Gittites who had followed him from Gath passed on before the king." Then the king said to Ittai the Gittite, "Well, why do you also go with us? Go back and stay with your own king. For you are a foreigner and also an exile from your home. You have come only yesterday, and shall I today make you wander about with us? Since I go, I know not where. Go back and take your brothers with you, and may the Lord show steadfast love and faithfulness to you." But Ittai answered the king, "As the Lord lives and as my lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king shall be, whether for death or for life, there also will your servant be." Wow, this is the kind of commitment God desires from each of us. Jesus set the example for us in John 10:15 when he said, "Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Samuel 15:22 goes on to say, "And David said to Ittai, 'Go then, pass on.' So Ittai the Gittite passed on with all his men and all the little ones who were with him. And all the land wept aloud as all the people passed by, and the king crossed the brook Kidron, and all the people passed on toward the wilderness." So it appears Ittai was new in his service to the king, but his service to King David was just as valuable as others. He was valuable to David and served an amazing purpose, protecting his life. Today there are people who have served the King, Jesus Christ, all their lives, and there are people who were older when they came to faith in Christ and haven't served as long. The point here is to know that it doesn't matter how long you have served the King, Jesus Christ, but that you have served. Even if someone is very old, all the angels in heaven sing when they come to salvation and choose to serve the King of all kings, Jesus Christ. So don't worry about time. Just worry about serving the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, wholeheartedly. Now that brings us to Barzillai, the last person we'll be covering today. Barzillai had served David off and on during his reign as king, but now we see him wavering at the most critical time in David's life as king. Barzillai is not sure that he's worth anything to the king. He misses the opportunity to fully serve the king and actually slights the king from partaking of his wisdom and misses out on an amazing blessing, serving the king till the deliverance over the Jordan River. Let's look. In 2 Samuel 19:31, it says, "Now Barzillai the Gileadite had come down from Rogelim, and he went on with the king to the Jordan to escort him over the Jordan. Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old. He had provided the king with food while he stayed at Maanaim, for he was a very wealthy man. And the king said to Barzillai, "Come over with me, and I will provide for you with me in Jerusalem." So Barzillai could have gone to dinner and stayed in the king's house to have a wonderful fellowship. But Barzillai said to the king, "How many years have I still to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. Can I discern what is pleasant and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats or what he drinks? Can I still listen to the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way over the Jordan with the king, but why should the king repay me with such a reward? Please let your servant return, that I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and my mother." See, Barzillai was 80 now, and on the way back to the king's house after the whole Absalom rebellion, Barzillai decides that he doesn't want to continue with David, that maybe someone younger would benefit the king more, that he was all washed up at 80, just too tired. Well, Barzillai, didn't you remember that Moses was 65 when God started his ministry? And what about Abraham, having the chosen son of the line of Messiah, Isaac, at 90? He had to serve God for years later while he was training him of all the ways of God. You know, David must have benefited in so many ways from Barzillai all the years that they had known each other. What a loss for David not to share and gain wisdom from an older, more experienced man of God. Think of how David must have prayed for Barzillai, and maybe Barzillai even taught David a few things about prayer and God. Barzillai missed a reward, verse 36 tells us. Make sure you don't stop serving the King, Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you will miss blessings and rewards. I had this wonderful spiritual mom. Her name's Becky Henderson. She is amazing. She has been there for me since the day I accepted Christ as my Savior. Whenever I went through struggles, I would call her and she told me how to do word searches and to study the Bible. She would share so much about prayer and teach me the Bible like no one else could. Now she is older and she encourages me. She listens to my teachings before anyone gets them. That way she can tell me if they're ready to go on the website. She is more valuable now than ever. Becky is the best. I love that she's older. She's so wise and patient and calm. Such an encouragement to me. See, David needed older, wiser people, so Barzillai missed the mark and missed the blessings. He stopped serving the king. Becky is still serving the king, Jesus Christ, and fortunately right now in this season of her life, he chooses for her to help me. Now, how about you? Are you feeling all washed up? Are you feeling too old? Pray and ask God to use you. You have so much wisdom, and young people really need you. In today's world, there's less respect for older people, especially among teenagers. But you need to break through and relate to younger people because you have so much to give. God's not done with you yet. Look at the suicide rate and the drug addictions. People are hurting. Young parents are hurting. You can give them so much wisdom. Don't make the mistake that Barzillai made. Commit your life to be used by God to help anyone who is in need. Start with your own family and branch out. Pray about helping the King, Jesus Christ. Can't you imagine how much David must have prayed for all these men who served him? He was the ultimate prayer warrior in the Old Testament, at least as far as the kings were concerned. Of course, the prophets were solid in prayer, but typically kings tended to stray from prayer. So make a commitment to pray for others. There's a printout sheet with this teaching that's titled Pray for Others. It has a verse at the top that you can pray for others on a daily or weekly basis. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That is a prayer you can pray for non-believers that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith, and for believers that Christ would dwell in their hearts to make their faith stronger. I usually print it out as a 5x7 size, but it's up to you. There is room in the little box area to write a word or two about the person. If you've just met someone, you might need a word to jog your memory. I have people written down from way back in 1992, so my stack of sheets has grown really tall, to say the least. So do you think I sit there all day and go through each name every day? Wow, I would have no life, right? See, that's the tricky part of being a Christian. We think we're supposed to sit and pray all day for everyone. I used to have friends who did that. They sat and prayed for every government official and everyone they knew. And that is wonderful, but unrealistic when you've got 4 kids and you put 40,000 miles on your car every year. So what I do is what King Hezekiah did. I mentioned it previously in one of my teachings. He took the threatening letter from the Assyrians and spread it out before God in the temple. He basically said, "Here it is, Lord. I can't do anything. Please take this burden from me and do your will." Well, that's what you can do with this sheet. As you write the person's name down, commit them to God and pray diligently for them. While they're fresh on your mind, you'll probably pray for them every day. Here's an example. Recently, there was an acquaintance who started asking me about my life. In general conversation, I mentioned that I used to have a ministry witnessing to college students. That struck her curiosity, and she began asking deep questions about salvation. Wow, that's really exciting when someone does that. She told me she was going to commit her life to Christ and pray for salvation. Well, of course, I went to write her down on this prayer sheet and prayed for her so much for the 2 or 3 weeks after that, because I wanted to be able to follow up with her, disciple her, but I didn't want to push her away at the same time. She thanked me about a week later, and then from time to time, she asked me questions. That's fantastic that I've been able to continue being part of what God has started in her. It doesn't always happen like that when someone gets saved. So when you encounter someone that you would like to pray for, just commit the person to God in prayer and lay the sheet out before him when you have your prayer time in that special place we've talked about in past teachings. God knows everyone on your list, so you don't have to go person by person. Just commit them all. Then you won't get so bogged down with worrying about who you should pray for. You will have them on the list, and you can look back to see and remember who to pray for. You see, God wants to take the stress out of your prayer time so that you can focus on Him and learn about Him. Be still and know that He is God. That should be your number one focus when you pray, and that is what we can learn from David's prayer in his Song of Deliverance when he was delivered over the Jordan River, back to Jerusalem, the city of David. In 2 Samuel 22, we see words like, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. He rescued me from my strong enemy. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered His voice. The Lord, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all who take refuge in Him." That is great advice to all of us. Also, another word of encouragement about prayer is in Revelation 5:8. It says, "And when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." Many times we might not feel motivated to stop and pray for other people, but this verse tells us how much God treasures our prayers for others. So if you find yourself driving in your car and have time to pray, then pray for others. Pray continuously during the day. That's what the scripture asks us to do. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 17 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing." Let's read Psalm 37:28 through 33 again. "For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Now, in conclusion, let me take you back to the comment that I made at the beginning of this lesson about Satan trying to grab the hearts of the kings so he could mess up the line of the kings that led to the Messiah. Well, Satan never stopped trying to mess with them. We can even see him trying to mess with Jesus during the 40 days in the desert while Jesus fasted. Satan offered him power, wealth, and fame, but Jesus refused, saying, "It is written." That's what Satan is constantly offering today. Look at the Hollywood stars and other people in your life who are falling. Keep praying for them all, that they can resist the temptations of the evil one. Jesus prayed so hard for the disciples in Gethsemane and told them to watch and pray so they won't fall into temptation. So pray for all the people around you, Christians and non-Christians, that they would grow in Christ or know salvation in Christ. Now I want to thank you for listening today, and may God bless you as you diligently pray for others in your life.